couple of places here that are connected to this. And I want to talk to you about something that I think, that I know, there's no question about this, is really needed. And that is getting back your joy. Getting back your joy as a Christian. Now, if Robertson's here next week and McGuckin the next week and Kirk is coming through, it's going to be several weeks where I get to do any actual preaching at night. Wednesday night we're doing some teaching on some things. We've always been like that. So I want you to listen. I don't know how I'll be able to get this across or not, but I'm going to give it my best, and I want you to listen because I believe this will help you. You cannot live the Christian life, really live it at its the way it's supposed to be lived, without a level of joy in your life. You have to have that. I mean, I'll show you in a minute. There's so many things. You look it up in a concordance, joy or rejoice or gladness, and we are commanded to be joyful, to rejoice. Thanksgiving is connected. Gladness is connected. Praise to God is connected. And you can't live it. You cannot live the Christian life apart from the level of joy that God intends for you to have. And I understand it's an experiential matter that sometimes your level of joy will be higher than others. But I really do believe that there are some people in here that it's been a long time since any real praise has emanated from your spirit through God's spirit to God. And there's a reason for that, and you want to find out what it is. It may not be a spiritual problem. It may be something else, but it's related. Your thinking may be wrong, or you may have some other things that are affecting that. But you've got to have a rejoicing spirit. You just have to. What is our hope or joy, rejoicing or not, ye in the presence of our Lord at his coming? You're our hope and our joy, 1 Thessalonians 2:18. There's so many verses on that you just can't bypass it. So I'm going to talk about that tonight. I've only got 4 points here and a couple of things, and I'm not going to tell a whole lot of stories tonight, I don't think. But I'm going to get this across as best I can. Now let's pray, and then we're going to read in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, Lord, I ask you to help me tonight as I preach. I pray you'll fill me with the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you will use me and help me tonight. And I ask you, Lord, to help me to get this across. And I ask you, Lord, that folks would receive this tonight. Now, there may be somebody here that's, mad at me for some reason, or they're tired of me or whatever. I don't know. But I ask you, Lord, I know how it is when the Holy Spirit is on something, that the instrument being used is pretty insignificant and is not really, doesn't stand out. And that's what I would ask for tonight. I ask that the Holy Spirit would work tonight. And Lord Jesus, you told us that when he, the Spirit of truth, would come, he would guide us into all truth. And then you said that he would take the things that are yours and that he would show them to us. And so I ask you to do that at some level tonight for everybody in here who has a heart to receive. And Lord, I pray you'll bless. I pray you'll fill me with the Holy Spirit. I pray you'll give me the attention of the people. And I ask you, Lord, that your truth will be magnified tonight, and the name of the Lord will be magnified tonight and glorified tonight. And I ask you to give me liberty to preach tonight, as you have been so kind in these last few weeks to me in that regard. Help me tonight. Fill me with the Holy Spirit tonight. In Jesus' holy name I ask it. Amen. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 47. Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. The context here is God is getting on the children of Israel, and he's pronouncing certain judgments on them. Though they're his people, he's telling them some bad things are in their future. And this is only one aspect, but one of the reasons for that is in verse 47, Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. Now notice this: because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness. He said, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Now, when you stop and think about it, these folks weren't thinking about their privileges. They were whining and complaining about some things that were on the edges, kind of negative. And God says, because you don't serve me with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, he says in verse 48, therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and thirst and nakedness, in want of all things. He shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he have destroyed me. And the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, swift as an eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor favor show favor to the young. And he goes on to talk about the fact that because they didn't have the joy of the Lord, and it's because they weren't thinking about what they had in God, God says, okay, since you don't appreciate that, I'm going to take some of those things away from you. And I'm going to let you see what it's like. God said, He said, Israel chafed under His law. And God said, you look at My law like it's a yoke. You know, back in the old days when they would plow a field with horses or with oxen, you had to harness that power. And you had to tie the plow to them. I was telling this morning, Kenny and I and Bob, this, I guess it was Bob and I can't remember which day, Monday or Tuesday, but I had an occasion to see a dog that had been crippled. The back legs had been crippled, I don't know how. And the people that owned this dog, it's a pretty nice little dog. The people love the dog. They're not doing this out of cruelty. But the people had somehow, with some kind of a harness, had connected, they almost looked like baby carriage wheels, to the back part of this dog so this dog could get around. And Kay saw it the other day going around without its wheels, and it was just dragging its back legs. It was kind of a sad thing. And so I came in there one day riding in a truck with somebody, and this dog came flying down this hill. Man, these wheels were bouncing, you know, not very good suspension. And his old front paws were going wide open as hard as he could. And that dog really seemed happy, because when the UPS guy comes or whoever comes, some lunatic with a home-built airplane on the back of a truck, he gets excited, man, because he can tear down there, and he probably can outrun the dogs that have four-paw drive. All right? Now, what I'm saying, that's like harnessing something. Now, they would harness a horses or oxen, and God said, I'll put a harness of wood. Now, folks, wood is softer than iron. Iron is very hard and very uncomfortable. And God said, you look at My laws, Israel, He said, like it's a yoke of wood. But because you're rejecting that, God said, I'm going to take away the yoke of wood, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to let somebody put a yoke of iron upon you, which is far worse. And it was all because they didn't have a rejoicing spirit. God didn't like it when His people murmured and complained. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1. When the people murmured, the Lord heard it, and it displeased the Lord. Now I want you to turn over, please, to Psalms chapter 16 for just a minute. Psalm 16. This is a great verse. Psalm 16. And look at this verse. I quote this verse to you a lot, but look at Psalm 16, verse 11. Now, folks, God can do this for you. God's the great restorer, and He can do anything. Psalm 16, verse 11. He says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. God says, I can give you fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, notice where that's found. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Man, I want that in my life. But the only way I can have that, I got to be in His presence as a Christian. Now, look over at John chapter 15 for just a minute. John chapter 15. And notice this. And that you'll see the connection here. John chapter 15. And there's a couple verses here. And you want all y'all to learn this, because this is it. And this is the reason, right here, is the reason why more people don't really have the joy of the Lord in their life. Then you need the joy of the Lord. You know what the joy of the Lord is? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And without that, when you don't have any enthusiasm about what you're doing and any happiness about it, you're not going to put yourself into it. You're not going to really give it your all. You're not going to appreciate what you're doing and see the value of what you're doing, because your joy is gone. And you're just kind of going on guts and duty and character. God wants you to have joy in your life. Now, look, now how do you get it? John chapter 15, verse 9. John chapter 15, verse 9. And notice this verse here. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in My love. That means a Christian can step out of the flow of God's love. He said, continue in My love. How do I do that? Okay, here's how. If you keep My commandments, ye shall abide in My love. You ever had occasion when you're on vacation somewhere and they have a swimming pool and there's nobody around swimming? We don't believe in mixed bathing, so I'll just tell you that straight up. But nobody's around, you can swim. It's kind of cold. And it's at night, you're out there, and the pool's open, but nobody's around. And you go in there, and the water's cold. And the only way to do it is you just dive into things. You try to do it incrementally with the 12-step disciple plan, you're going to have a miserable time. The only way to do it is just get in there. You know what I'm talking about? Just dive in, have your stroke, get it over with, and then it's warm for a while. And then the problem is getting out. Then you're going to freeze that. But a lot of times those pools, they're heated pools, some of them are, but the heat doesn't do a whole lot. And if you swim around the edges of that thing, you'll find that there's an outflow of warm water. And when you get cold, that's what you want to get to. You want to get to where that thing is pushing out that warm water. That's kind of like God's love. The world is kind of like that cold pool. And God says, as a Christian, He said, though I love you, you may not feel my love. You may not sense my love. You may not be living in my presence and have fullness of joy. At my right hand, there are pleasures, God says. Psalms 145, 16. Thou openest thine hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. God does that. And He does it in a righteous and holy kind of way. Look what He says in verse 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Man, that's what I need. If I keep God's commandments, I'll abide where God is moving. I'll get to that vent where the warm water is coming out. Look back at chapter 14 and notice this. We'll just study here just a minute. Look at chapter 14. Jesus said, first thing, in verse 15, chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me. Now, if you've come to a place where at some point you saw Christ crucified on your behalf, bearing your sins, in my class, we're studying the basic fundamental doctrines of the faith. And I'm glad that we're doing that. And we've dealt with the verbal inspiration of the Bible. And we've dealt with the deity of Christ, went into great detail with it. Right now, we're on the issue of the blood atonement, the fundamentals of the faith. Someone, Brother Greg, brought me a newspaper clipping today of Bob Jones University. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but this, you ought to know this. They're not calling themselves fundamentalists anymore. They want to call themselves preservationists of the faith. That's a dirty compromise. Bob Jones has spent too much time with Larry King. And I don't see where Larry King's going to send his kids to Bob Jones because he changed any policy. Folks, listen to me. God never said we're supposed to please the world. God said we're not even to focus on that. We're to please Him, and in the process of pleasing Him, we're trying to win everybody we possibly can. We ought not to back up from that just because the news media calls a bunch of Muslims fundamentalists. This is a fundamental, independent Baptist church, flat out, straight out. We believe in the fundamentals of the faith. We don't mess with them. We don't alter them. We don't change them. We're not trying to entertain anybody. We're not trying to make people feel good. I told Betty, came in here the other day, it's been a while since she'd been in a rip-roaring Baptist church like this, and I said something, that she was getting somebody to pray. And I'm very jealous about these prayer warriors. I'm going to tell this story. You turn red, green, whatever. I don't care. I'm too old to care about it. I don't care who gets mad anymore. I don't think you'll get mad. But don't do it. Don't let them know you're mad or you make a fool of yourself. So, well, this coach is called black male, amen? White male is what this is. But anyway, there's not enough people that pray. And she was talking to one of the prayer warriors, and oh man, my antennas go up because I need them praying for me because I don't know how to pray like they pray. Mike, you understand what I'm talking about? I don't know how to pray like they pray. And I can pray, and I got a little 6-5 horsepower prayer that kind of drags me along, but they got those 350 horses that can drag them around and really get things happening. And they got afterburners. I don't have none of that. I'm one magneto, and they've got power with God, and I thank God for that. But she's got all these tracks. She's got a scammy track on St. Patrick. You know, he was saved, a Baptist, and all, went to Heil Branderson. It's a scam. But anyway, everybody gets drunk and blocks up, wears green hats and staggers and everything. But anyway, I saw her back there, and she was talking to one. I'm a little guy. I'm like a submarine. I kind of maneuver around. I'm watching what's going on. Pray for me. I said, no. I said, this wasn't what the case was. You know, a fool answers a question before he knows what, gives the answer before he knows what the question is, and that's what I did. I sank my own boat. But she said, I'm not answering her right now. I'm asking about something else. And I said, Joe, I got something for you, so don't get all proud of me now. But I said, don't pray for her. She said, I didn't ask her to pray for me. She said, don't you think God wants these tracts blessed? I said, your tracts don't need blessed. Isaiah 55, verse 11, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not hither, but waters the earth that it may bring forth in blood and bud and give bread to the sower and seed to the sower and bread to the eater, verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, whether they pray for it or not. But it shall accomplish, it shall, whether you pray for it or not, that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I said it. I said, I got a verse right there that says that you give out God's word, God is going to bless His word. But it's not a verse is going to unconditionally bless me. And I said, since you don't need the prayer, I do. I said, don't drink this water. We're all on a lifeboat. There's not much water to go around. But I'm very jealous about that. But listen to me. What I'm telling you is that, listen, Jesus said, If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, we're studying the atonement and what Christ did for you on the cross. And there's no way you can have come to a place in your life where you see your sin having been torn by Christ on the cross. And you see that without having some level of love. You know what the, on a practical level, what the biggest difference between a saved person and an unsaved person is? On a practical level, what it really is, as far as inside the person, it's simply this. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you guys are religious. He said, but I know you. He said, you don't have the love of God in you. Now, brother, when you get saved, Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad like light is diffused in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And when I got saved, there was a level of love in my heart. Lord, I love you. I thank you for saving me. He said in verse 15, he said, you love me, keep my commandments. That's what I want you to do. I want you to keep my commandments. Now, what I want to do, I wanted to play, have a big jazz band for Jesus. You know, hey, come here and get saved. You know, now, look, listen to me. I'm glad I got saved when I did for the Cares Mad Boots because I got caught up in that mess. So they'll take you right on in. And I'll say something about that in just a minute. But that's what I want to do. And I told Pastor, he said, what do you want to do for the Lord? I said, I want to form a jazz band for Jesus. And he said, Ron, God really doesn't want a jazz band. He said, you love the Lord? I said, yeah, I do. He said, so why do you want to have this band? I said, because I love the Lord and it's something I can do. He said, you know what? He doesn't want a jazz band. He said, if you love the Lord, and he showed me this verse, he said, you find out God's commandments in the Bible and do them. That's how you show the Lord that you love Him. Not by devising your own means of showing Him you love Him, but you find what He says and you do it. Because that's what He wants done. Now, look at what happens if you keep His commandments and obey. Look down at verse 21. I loved it. He that hath my commandments, you got to have them first, and keeps them. So you got to find out what they are. Some people don't love the Lord enough to even try to find out what they are. So He said, find out what they are. Seek. If you will seek after God, seek Him. Seek Him with all your heart. Say, God, make yourself real to me. God will. So if you have my commandments, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. If you got to, you know, if you love Jesus, honk your horn. I like the one that says, you love Jesus, tithe. So that's more scripture. He that hath my commandments, he that loves me. Now notice this now. This is so amazing. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. And you say, oh man, I want God to be real in my life. Okay, look what he says. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now folks, listen to me. What does that mean? That means that you will walk with the Lord and do what God tells you to do. God will work periodically in your life to a point where you will sense and he will make himself real to you. See, here's the problem. Right here is the problem. He will make himself real to you. And when he makes himself real to you, you'll be able to say, like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, while he made known his words unto us. And I mean, God will stir your heart if you'll just do that. Now, let's go a little further. Let's go back to John 15, verse 10. He said in 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, look at verse 11. Now, how do I abide in his love? How do I stay in that stream of warm water? I keep his commandments. Now, some of you have been to Hawaii. Everybody's seen surfing on television or something somewhere. Now, surfing is a matter of rhythm and timing. I can't do it. I'm not even going to get into it. I went out and I came back right quick. Not on my own. I got thrown back. How far did you get back in? And Chris said, hey, that's not the question. Chris said, how far out did you get? And that's right. Because that's a whole science to getting out there where they break, where you can get on those stupid things and ride them in. And Bob always did that. And I said, Bob, forget the Caribbean. He said, they have ocean. I said, they ain't got ocean like Hawaii's got ocean. Hawaii's got ocean high as a building, man, on certain days. And down there, everything's flat. You can get that there looking at a mud puddle. But this is real stuff. You can just run onto the shore and bang your head up and everything. But what I've noticed is this. They go out, and they don't jump on every wave that comes in. You'll see a whole bunch of them out there, and they're pointing out, and they're watching, and there's a matter of timing where they'll turn around and start paddling, and they'll jump up on that thing and try to stand up. And again, those guys over there, I mean, you know, they are amazing how they do it. But it's a matter of timing. And not all the waves are conducive to surfing, even on a day when they're high waves. And so they're watching. Folks, with me, God's flow my commandments. And God said, I'm not gonna make you jump for joy every single day. But Lord said, if you follow me, God said, I'm gonna see to it that enough energy comes from heaven to you, through you, out to somebody else as you keep my commandments. And if you're gonna walk away from it, and you're gonna say, this is not good. And you're gonna say it, not because somebody said, it's not good. You'll be able to say it because you can sense God in you and inside you. God is inside you. The other week, late Saturday night, I was at a gas station, which I'm often at on Saturday night, getting gas for Sunday. And it was for Saturday night, it's kind of late. And I went there, and there wasn't anybody around, and this was right down here on 301 on Croom Station Road in 301. And go down, Jim, you go down that little hill there, and there's people sitting in that little box. There's a lady sitting in there, and I just felt like I ought to give her a track. In fact, I knew I ought to give her a track when I pulled up. Probably already gave her one. But you say that because of Colicello. But anyway, but I thought, yeah, I wasn't anybody. And after the track was my picture, which I don't really like the picture, but hey, you know, it's working. And so I got one, and I laid it on the seat. And I pulled it out of the little thing in the door, and I laid it on the seat. And I thought, I'm going to do that. I got out of the car to go pay her. This snobby looking white woman drove up. Harvard grad type, snobby. I mean, Jacques Cousteau stickers on her car. I support Maryland Public Television. I'm against God. Darwin stickers on her car. Not really, but I mean, you know, I mean, I just went to her door. She's not going to walk the aisle. Next time she gets in church, it's at a funeral when some guy stands up and talks about how the Lord was her shepherd. And I mean, and he wasn't. And something about that, I just didn't feel like that woman giving me grief. And, you know, because I thought she was going to stand there and mess up. So I left the track there, and I went and paid for the gas, and I got back there filling the gas up. And I thought, you know what, I'm not going to let the devil get a victory here. I got to preach tomorrow, and I need some joy in my heart. And I knew where I was going. I wasn't going to get joy. I was going to visit Ed Presley. I might like get shot at 9:30 at night. So, no, he's not here. So I thought, you know, I thought I won't get any joy there. So I go there. He's got his rock and roll music playing. And he's got a radio out front so nobody will break in his house. And every time I go there, he's got some junk playing on it. And I switch his channel to WFSI, all that snobby Christian music. And he goes, you know what? All that stuff. That's like Dan Demon's cousins, no pianos. They just... We aren't happy, you know. That's just but that's better than the other stuff, amen. So Ed knows I've been there. I his channel on his radio. All right, but what I'm saying, this thing, I don't care what that stupid lady thinks. And I didn't think about giving her. She didn't look elected, you know. And the other lady, I thought might something like that. Who knows? That girl might be sitting there. Some stupid boyfriend's gonna wreck her life that night. Or maybe she's married and her husband's leaving, or she's having trouble getting. I don't know what's going on. But I thought, man, I ought to give it up. What about it? I said, here, I just want to get a tip. Let me tell you something. When I walked away from that place and walked past the Cousteau snob, I don't even think I was touching the ground. Now, that's a simple thing. But I present the gospel hundreds of times. I don't mean give a tract. I mean talk to somebody about being saved several hundred times. The evenings and other things that go on. Let me include that. I know about all that, but something just as simple as that, I'm telling you, it just flooded my heart with joy. And I thought, praise God! And I drove out of there in hope that somehow God would use that track in that woman's life. And I don't know. Bryant was telling me, I've gone around this one neighborhood, never got anything. I mean, never got, I never got boo out of anybody. Bryant told me he was over in Salisbury at a missions conference, and a guy walked up to him and said, "Who's your old pastor?" He said, "Fenwick." Yeah, I know Fenwick. Fenwick used to visit my house all the time. And he said, "I never let him talk to me." And here this guy, I wish the guy had the character to call me up and thank me for coming around now that he said, by the way, if somebody's been a blessing to you, whether you're a you might not have been saved if it hadn't been that. Yeah, we may have pulled the fruit off the tree, but somebody else might have been the one that did the prayer. Don't you think you owe them a little bit like that? I think you do. I think some people get discouraged, man. They're about to give up and get a letter. thank you for helping me out. And you say, man, praise God, truly, it's not in vain what you do for the Lord. So what I'm telling you is simply this. This is a guy got saved in a mission conference. Now, if he saved and give money in a mission conference, you probably got saved. Good chance of it. If not, he may be close, don't you think? All right. Now, look what the Lord says. Man, it's hot in here. There's a little cold air. Okay, you got cold air? You're looking at me. Nobody ever talked. Let me try it. Cold air. All right. Guys, stare at me. I don't know if I'm dead or they're dead or we're in twilight zone. All right. Listen to me. All right. Now, look at verse 10 again. He said this. He said, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. And that's what you got to have. You need to abide in his love. How do I do it? By doing what he said. Now, see, there's where we lose our joy. We stop doing what he tells us to do. And I'll say more about that in a minute. He says, even as I've kept my father's commandments. Now, what is the result? The result is in verse 11. Now look now. Look now. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. I've been saying 32 years. And brother, I have to have God's joy constantly going in me. I mean, I can still go down the road, listen to an unshackle broadcast for some guy that was an absolute hopeless. And a guy gets saved and God gets up, and I can still get joy in my heart and scream out in the car, praise God, hallelujah for that. Bang on the steering wheel, blow the horn a few times. I can still do that. You know why? Because I'm abiding in his love. I'm trying to abide in his love. Now, he says, I want my joy to remain in you and that your joy might be full. Full. I want full joy. Now, let me give you, if I could please, let me give you four simple things here. First thing is this. You say, this is the first one here. I'm just going to go quick. Number one thing is this. Look, before I get to that, consider this how many times it comes up. Think about this. Matthew 25, 21, Jesus said, well done thou, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful in a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Do you have the joy of the Lord? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Look, the Holy Spirit, how much does the Holy Spirit work in life? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. If I let the Holy Spirit have his way in my life, he will give me love for the Lord. He will give me love for other people. And I have to have that. He'll do that for me. And he will give me joy. But I can't have that on my own. I can't make that happen. God has to bring that up in me. Love, joy, peace. Colossians 1, verse 11. God says, strengthen unto all patience and long suffering. I don't like patience. I mean, you got to have it. I don't like it. I don't like long suffering. I don't like waiting for things. None of us like waiting for things. I haven't flown for 3 months, and I've hated that aspect of it. I've been to a lot of baseball practices, and they've hated that. But you know, I don't like that. You run into a brick wall. Always something going on. Always something. And the other night I told Jack, man, I had a 15, 20 mile an hour cross wind. I finally got the stupid thing running. I went tearing down the runway. It was dark. And I could hardly keep that thing going in a straight line. I didn't take off. I mean, you're talking in a danger zone now, brother. A tail dragger in a crosswind like that. And I just can't. So you have to go through it. Well, what does God say when you go through a problem? Or you go through something that you have to have long suffering? God says you can go through it with joyfulness. Now, if I got to go through something that makes patience, and if I have to go through something that requires long suffering, I would rather go through it happily, rejoicing in my heart, than I would unhappy in my heart. How about you? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks. Listen to this. Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, even the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, here's where it is. There ought to be, first thing, there ought to be a certain level that you maintain in your life as a Christian. When you're not up on the mountain and when you're not down in the valley, there ought to be a certain level that you maintain. Let me explain what I mean. Many years ago in Philadelphia, Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse, a great old Presbyterian preacher, an old fundamentalist preacher, old, he's in heaven, been in heaven for many years now. Donald Gray Barnhouse got a lot of commentary, he's a great old guy, he's a bit Calvinistic, but he loved the Lord. And he told about a woman that was a widow lady, and she lived in Philadelphia, and she didn't have a car. She lived in an old junky apartment. All she had, she had to go to work every day and ride the train. And it happened that it was winter. The rain was pouring. She's feeling sorry for herself. She waited 45 minutes for the train to come, and something happened, and it didn't get there on time, and she had to walk, you know, quite a long way to get to her apartment through a real difficult area, and it just pouring down. And she said, oh, how difficult that was. And she made this comment. She said, I was so discouraged when I got home. This is back to the whoever was supposed to get the fire going didn't get it going, and it was cold in her apartment, and she soaked with the rain and all. So she starts getting in dry clothes and getting herself, you know, dried up a little bit. As she soaked with courage, she's got things like this. All right? Listen to me. We live in a day, all of us agree, I think this point, everybody agrees we're probably living in the last day. If we're not living in the last day, we're certainly seeing the demise and the deterioration and the decay of this country, the United States. And I'm glad for President Bush. I like him. I like everything he's done. I have no complaints about W. I like him a lot. I like what he's doing. I like the stands that he takes. I like that he's blowing up those killers over there. And I'm glad for that. Because they're enemies. I mean, this is a attack to our country. It's a bad thing. But we're at least seeing the decay in this country. Cheap girls. We live in the day of cheap girls. I mean, let me tell you something. And you're going to get them to the altar clean. You've got a war on your hands. You got a big war. I mean, it's going to take everything and praying. And you might have to learn how to pray like some of these ladies pray around here in order to get them through all the attacks of the devil. I mean, we live in a day of absolute trash. We have people coming here on Sunday morning. I don't know if you're coming about the sodomite Rosie O'Donnell, who's trying to make it legitimate now to adopt kids. You know, you can hardly get a white kid. I don't want it, but I'm saying you can't hardly get them. You can't hardly get any kind of kid. And now she wants the wife of sodomites to adopt them. They can't have kids on their own. Wonder why that is. Think maybe what they're doing is unnatural? But the fact that you listen to that, and the fact that you laugh at her jokes, and the fact that I get up on Sunday morning and there's some kind of people working on every blueprint flying saucer that that guy get off. Now, we are facing some bad times coming in this country. Now, here's what I noticed. Everywhere I go, every neighborhood I go in, there are a lot more Christian people now, say people that, you know, brother, profess much more. I mean, you run into a lot. If you go to 5, 6 buildings in the apartment there, you'll run into many more people now who have gone to a church, been to a church several times, that preaches being saved, than more now than everybody to get saved. But I'll tell you this. Make this comment. Yeah, I was listening to a guy talking the other day about giving money. And I'm not real high on this guy. This guy Burkett. Some things he says I like, some things he says I don't like. I'm not big on evangelicals because they put, it's to me like it's they just have a problem with discipleship. You know, and just living right and doing what God wants. They want to be acceptable to the world. They don't want the world to think they're nuts. I've got the world's going to think you're a nut if you live for God, so you might as well quit trying to please them and just serve the Lord. I don't mean you ought to be a nut, but you ought not to worry too much about what they say about it. Just live for God and have the guts and the courage to live for God. And just say, I'm going to live for God. I don't care what. Yeah. But he said the percentage, now there's more Christians, but he said the percentage of giving per Christian is as low as it's been since the Great Depression. I almost wrecked my car. They said the average saved person gives about 2% of their money to the Lord. Now, God said you ought to start with the tithe. And yet we have churches in this area that have multiplied thousands of people that sit in their seats on. And yet, a guy who will walk through the blood of slain infants to get in office and to defend that godless practice, he's getting reelected. Now, I'm telling you, something is not being said in the pulpits of those churches. And this is one of the problems I got with charismatic movement. Let me tell you something, folks. Christianity is about the Lord. It is not about us feeling good. And God will meet our needs. But somebody needs to get up in the Bible and say, that's a sin. That's wrong. You shouldn't do it.
coming here, and we say, if you're living in sin, something bad's going to happen to you any moment now. There's a difference. And I don't think God is wants us to be in the entertainment business. I want to preach in such a way that you start living in a way that makes God feel good about it. And brother, he's the center, not us. Amen? All right. Now, back to our study. Now, there ought to be a certain level for this lady's changing her clothes, and she thought the pastor preached something. And here's what she said. There's an old song, an old poem. There has never been a day so dreary. There has never been a night so long. Where the soul that is find a joyful song. And that's exactly right. Let me tell you something. I've had some bad times in my life. I've had phone calls that felt like something. I have had my disappointments. Listen to me. But I'll tell you what. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is all grown up. The Lord is still precious to me. And he ought to still be precious to me. Now, how did it change? When you were first saved, you had joy. You were doing something for God. Last night, things enter that create a diversion and get us off track. There's a process that starts. When God saves you, he puts his love in your heart. You start walking around, man, you're just thrilled. Man, God saved you. And man, you're reading every kind of book people ask. Praise God. You're learning all about the Lord. Now, something happens in that process to where your joy is lost. Here's what it is. Problems start to enter. A little more air, brother. Problems start to enter. Like what? Well, Jesus said, cares of this world. Now, how do you compare the world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things? Now, that's not necessarily something bad. But here's the problem. Now, God has a cure or an antidote for all three. Because you can't say, Lord, don't even let them near me, because they're around you all the time. And so what you have to do is this. The cares of this world. You know what the answer to the cares of this world is? Simply, it's a decent devotional life. That's all it is. I mean, there has to be a time when you set your heart. You know how often you need your heart set? You need your heart set on a daily basis. And so, you have to put everything aside, and you open this book, and you open your heart up before God, and you say, God, show me something. Help me. Otherwise, the problem is to deceitfulness of riches. Now, how do you deal with that? By believing what is true and rejecting what is error. You know, I'm just aggravated by these stupid cars. I mean, I really do stuff. I just laugh at them. They got cars that go up 300-400 miles an hour. And, I mean, all kinds of, go loops and rolls and stuff. And look, it's just a scam. And you buy this car, then all the girls want to ride around in your car. Now, boy, let me tell you something. If that's all, then when are you going to do car breakdown? Some other dude's going to go with a better car than you got. Now, we laugh about that. You know what you're going to be calling Dr. Laura. Well, you're stupid for marrying somebody. That is true. I mean, that's what she'll say. Now, I can't say that. I'll say, well, God, but God do what things out. In back of my head, I'm thinking, they were stupid to marry somebody. But I can't say that. I can't hang up on you. In fact, sometimes I can't get y'all to leave my office at 11 o'clock at night. Okay, hey, you don't mind if I take my blood pressure medicine? I told somebody that. I said my calorie count's dropping. I got to get home, or otherwise I'll start losing weight. But listen, what I'm saying, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust for other things, that's taken care of with keeping things in line, and not doing what you're not supposed to do when you're supposed to be doing something else. Like the Lord said. When it's God, listen to me. I hesitate to, but a relative of mine just got back from a road trip. I think they're in first place in their college division. First place. They've been to Tennessee. They've been in Louisiana. They beat Louisiana State. That's Shreveport. Okay. That's Shreveport. That's Shreveport. Shreveport. They beat Louisiana State. We can't beat them in baseball. I mean, they whipped up on. They played. He called me up and said, "He said, 'Never go to a Pastor, there I was, Marshall. J.C. Penney Store, pastor of Pagoda Chapel Baptist Church. Oh my. What am I saying? I'm simply saying, that's Brother Howell. Brother Howell went to college at the East Texas Baptist Church. They took some more than they got to Arkansas. They played a doubleheader yesterday. They split. They had an extra group. They were over tied in first place. But I'll tell you this. They drove 9 hours fans, and they got wooden seats in them, and the exhaust pipe doesn't always exhaust the exhaust. Sometimes it comes up, but it's okay, so you understand how to operate. Alright, but anyway, the other team riding their van around the block, they'd be half nuts, and they wouldn't be able to see the ball. Alright, but they got this big bus, I mean, they got air, they got all this, 9 hours to get home from Arkansas. Now, this morning, when we left church, I said, call him. He got home at 5 o'clock in the morning. It took him until 7 o'clock to get back to his dorm room because his truck wasn't up. And she called him and said, did I get to church? He said, I am, Mom. Couldn't get his truck started, and he walked to church. Now, folks, listen to me. Listen to what I'm telling you. I'm telling you there's no difference from him or you or anybody else. Nobody's going to live for God if they're not putting the Lord first in what they do. He said, I guess this flying all times a real temptation. I said, it's not a temptation. I don't go flying until I first go soul with it. And I don't go flying until I first have my devotion. And I don't go flying when it's time to do something else for the Lord. You don't take buy yourself a new set of tennis shoes or something. You just don't do it. It's not yours. Time is it. And so you put the flower and you like where it's supposed to be. Now maybe your spouse is like you. Look, if you're the man, you have to be the head of the home. And you got to be kind and loving and gentle. But if your wife doesn't want to go along with serving the Lord, you got, my dad said, you got to, I don't take this wrong. He said, you got to take the bull by the horn. I'm not saying she is. But I'm saying you have to live for God. And maybe it's your the wife and you're living for God and your spouse is fighting. Folks, listen to me. You have to live for the Lord. You have to live for the Lord. Look, a lot of men, there's men in this church and some of them are not here tonight. And they used to come but they don't come so much anymore. And here's what they'll do. And don't tell me you've never seen a Jehovah's Witness. They got a verse. The Bible says, obey your husband. Listen to me. If I get up here, the Bible also says, you're supposed to obey the pastor. And if I get up here and tell you to find out, and make sure we don't get caught, because we got to find the new uniform. You're not supposed to do that. That's illegitimate order. That's not what we're supposed to do. As a young person, God says you're not supposed to love your son or your daughter more than you love the Lord. The Bible says you're not supposed to love your father or mother. Why should there be a conflict between your father and mother? Look, because there's some young people here, God will call you to preach, God will call you to mission field, and your parents, even though they've been in this church for years, will oppose you. They want I got a grand dog, that's all, that's nothing. Besides that, Tom doesn't want to be an Uncle Tom anytime soon, amen. You can be an Uncle Tom to the dog. You say, you shouldn't say, you wish you could say stuff like that. You just, if he, people know if you're alright or not. They can tell what's great about it. Now, listen. But what I'm telling you give them to the Lord. You give them to God. You just let God have them. Jack saw his own filthy in a pretty dangerous area. But you know what? I never saw Jack try to stand in his way of his kids serving the Lord. God told you. Other people will oppose you. The time of life that you're in, sometimes you'll use that as people. You know what? The Lord doesn't wear out this. Now, here's what you got to do. Just deal with it. Those things, if you don't deal with them, will become a problem to you. And let me say this. If you marry a woman that is fighting you and serving God, let me tell you something. The more you give in, the more she'll take. If your kids are fighting you about serving the Lord, the more you give in, the more they'll take. And you better, look, I'm telling you, your husband's fighting you about serving God. They don't want you here at all. Now listen to me. I'm going to hurt you feelings when I say this. Here, I'm going to say it. A person is capable of any sin that any other person has ever committed who was saved and got away from the Lord. You, me, Bob, my kids, your husband, your wife, you get away from the Lord. The devil hates Christian people. And if he can take you from wrong, he's not going to say, well, that Christian, you know, they're not serving the Lord now, so I'm going to leave them alone. Let me tell you something. He's going to make an example out of you, that right? He's going to make an example out of you. He's going to drag you as far down the drain, the dump, as he possibly can. And if he has to break up your family, you'll break your family. You don't dance around with the devil. You stay away from him. You take your stand and you do what you look good. You don't give a damn about it. Now, say, what do I need to do? Just take it and I'll be done in a minute. You need to re-enter the Christian life 100%. You can't hold back. You just can't hold back. Enter it 100%. Anything you do, stand for the Lord. You just need to do it. And this halfway living is a miserable set of circumstances. You just sit on. I can give you a lot of verses, a lot of things on that. But I'll tell you this. Hebrews 10:38, God says, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in thee. When you live for the Lord, God says, but I have no pleasure in a person who draws back. So, folks, look, I want to get my joy back. See, that's right. Am I going to serve God or am I not going to serve God? If you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to have to go forward with all your heart. You know, I'll tell you this. I have not seen as much, many things done in the work of God here as I'd like to see done. And I was looking the other day trying to figure out when I was born and how old I am. I calculated out. And I figured, I'm going to be okay. And certain things we're just going to have to do. And if we're going to do what God wants us to do, we're just going to have to just do certain things. And we're going to have to put more pressure in certain areas. We're going to have to work harder in certain areas and really get serious about that. And quit messing around. It's got to be done. The Lord is going to hold us accountable for it. He's going to hold us accountable. So I've got to be serious about what I'm doing. Now look, you can't do it halfway. You got to give yourself to it. Man, when it's time to go sowing, you go sowing. Time to give, give. Time to pray, you pray. Time to read, read. You do what God wants you to do. All these other things that you're possibly may appear to have. And the last thing we'll say about getting good at it. You got to figure out, listen, a lot of y'all are bust out. You got to get out of the rut that you get in a rut. You get in a rut about what you're doing. Bust out backwards sometimes. Now, keep calculating in your head what kind of bust it is. So you don't mess it up and you come in the next morning with nobody on it. We take your paper and go backwards. Now, some of you math wizards, you won't have a problem. Decide. Some of you that teach classes, you ought to decide, hey, you know what? Some of you must say, I'm going to go ask God to give me somebody to help me on my bus route and turn it over to them, and I'm going to take a route, and I'm going to go someplace else. Deal with the same kind of people. Look, there's a whole world. You got a very bad situation. Young girl came up in our Sunday school. I know she's not been here. Really got her life messed up. Young girl. Some of you know about her. I'm not going to give any names, so nobody can know who this is. And last night I was visiting Elmer. Now, Elmer is a former gang leader. I trust former, right? Former. So if you got a gang, bring them in. Let's get them all saved. Get them all busted. You're going to ride the bus, I'm going to break your face. That'd be great. Juan is the director over that group. You want God to be your father? You're going to do it or we're going to bust your head. Now, this girl, this is very sad. Very, very sad. You can't do it. This girl got tied up with some trash head guy. We candy store. You don't. Bob and I didn't buy there. You know, it's not just getting people saved. It's staying with it. Let me tell you something. When you can't hit the teenage years, Satan pours the coals on them, trying to get them away from God. Because the devil's got more going than you got then. And we look, we lose them. We're after them. She's avoiding us now, but this is another stuff. By there, and I thought, no, that was funny. I said, how far away are they living? He said, just right up the street. Elmer's saying, Elmer always does their claw slippers anywhere, right? Shank, have you seen them? You need a set of them. What a doctor. I bet you can wear them at St. Elizabeth's till you're around that end. They'd never notice anything out of it. Last night I didn't have one. And I said, where are they at? And let me tell you something. You know what? You got to watch. You can do everything right as a parent. Yourself. Now in this case, the mother died. The dad's doing the best he can to raise his family. He's having a hard time. And let me tell you, when teenagers get into sin, they get hard about the feelings of their parents. They get so wrapped up in what they're doing. They don't think about the fact that the girl that she's killing her father. It seems like to me he's been through enough by losing his wife in death. It seems like that's enough for me. It seems like wrong, but I'm not going to hurt my dad. But my dad's all I really have. But see, the devil sends these trash head guys along. And he runs over. And Shank went by there, and the guy told Shank to get lost. Now, I will admit, Shank said that the stolen in is a little unorthodox. I don't know the whole story. Well, I heard this guy's pretty hot. And I said, Elmer, put the shoes on, let's go see. And we went last night. And I didn't know where I'm landing with it. I'd be bothering like a reason if I want to. Well, whenever I feel like I should bother. Well, I'm going to do my best to get roll back to our family. Well, you know, and there's all kinds of things. But, folks, listen. I said, let's discuss. You know what? I just. Ready to come off. So I would have, and you say, were you scared of the skunk? No. You say, why? The Lord said, but I had Elmer. You gotta go through Elmer first. And it hit him in the head. I know it wouldn't get naked in Elmer's head very hard. Cop on my side, but I'm good. Handle the gun. Where's Santo Domingo? You tell him I want to see him, baby, okay? Now, listen. Okay, now, I came home last night in hopes that maybe something will happen. Maybe somebody get in for me. I thank God for Sunday school teachers. Somebody just said, Lord, I see them, the girls, arms around the girls, crying, praying with them. I thank God for that. Thank God for people who have compassion, who want to help them. Who want to do something. I'm excited. I came here this morning. Look at the tree! What's for? I said, Lord, I don't want to do it. Now, here's the reason why. Because I'm trying it. Failingly as I do, to keep this commandment. So what did you say? If you keep my commandment, I'll manifest myself to you. I could testify to you in all honesty before you and before the Lord. He does that in my life. I don't know much about praying. I don't know how to pray like some of you pray. But I know this. I know God makes himself real to me. And it is the joy of the Lord that keeps things going. You know, I know this is really affecting me. And you let it drop, and it just runs out of momentum after a while. To keep it bouncing, you've got to just put pressure on it. And that's what the Christian life is. You'll dribble right into the locker room of heaven, and Lord said, I'll take that now. You won't need those sinful things anymore. Come right on in. But what I'm saying is, look, as we get older, listen to me, as we get older, we don't not dry up inside and get dead inside and not do these things anymore. And God ought to answer our prayers and help us. We're to walk with it. It's great. And never a day so long, never a night so dreary that the soul trusting in Jesus can't find a song of joy in their heart. Absolutely. Just to walk with God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, bless what we say tonight. Lord, I pray you'll use it, help us tonight. And I pray you'll help somebody tonight, Lord, to see what they need in their life. Speak to the heart, Lord. We do our most sincerely ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand in Jesus' name. We're not saying the altar's open. What about your joy? What about it? If you need it, you got to get in God's way of doing it. And he'll help you. He's promised that he would. If you mean business, he'll help you. Amen. You gotta get serious. Some of you in your family, you're gonna have to put up a fight. I don't mean a physical fight, but you're gonna have to put up a battle. And somebody in your home has to stand for the things of the Lord. Somebody has to stand for the things of the Lord.